dressing, Myrna. What else did she put them in?
I don't know what else. She just used chestnuts with everything that goes in it.
Okay, well, I just have like a list of questions that I've, to keep so I remember to talk about everything. But first, what I have to do is make this statement and tell you what about my project. So the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut in the Southern Appalachian region. Information obtained in these interviews will be made available for further use in an effort to promote a better understanding of the role of the American chestnut in Appalachian culture. So then I have to ask, have you signed the participant identification and release agreements? Okay, great. Yeah.
Okay. I think you better say yes instead of...
Huh?
Did you want
to... Yeah.
That was good.
You have to say yes instead of shaking your head.
Okay.
Well, the first thing I would like is, will you just tell me your name and where you live and when you were born?
My name is Eugene Day. And I was born in the town of Cumberland in 1926. And I live at the present address already stated here.
Okay, well, I guess the first question, do you remember the chestnut? Do you have any firsthand memories of the chestnut yourself? And what do you remember about the chestnut?
Well, when I was growing up, 8 or 10 years old, we lived at Lynch. My daddy worked in the coal mines, and on the weekends he'd take us to the mountains up in the Black Mountain, and we'd pick chestnuts up. Sometimes we'd get a half a bushel and just to boil and eat and bake with them. But the chestnuts were on their way out at the time I was picking them up. But I have seen people where I live now on Calhoun Creek go by horseback and mules to the mountain to pick chestnuts up, and they used what we refer to as meal sacks. And they'd, sometimes I guess they'd get their 100 pounds and they'd load them on the mules and carry them out. And they used them for different ways in cooking, and a lot of times they fed their hogs and horses chestnuts to substitute for corn. At that time, there was never a stock law. Everybody just marked or branded their animals and turned them loose, and they stayed healthy and fat while they was eating the wild nuts in the woods. And, but this chestnut blight started sometime after World War I, and the chestnuts were just about completely gone when in the early 40s. But you do find one occasionally if you're out in the woods. You'll find it as a young sapling, and it takes quite some time for them to get old enough to bar. I found 3 trees on Pine Mountain in 2000, and I've collected nuts off of it twice, but the trees are completely dead now. So they're short-lived, and I reckon as far as I know that the blight is still continuing to kill them. But you do find a lot of new sprouts coming up in the mountains.
Do you remember your dad or mom telling you about how did they use the chestnuts more when they were growing up than when you were growing up, or did they ever tell you any stories about how they used the chestnuts?
No, we never did discuss it. It was just a natural thing. They just come free and just get them when you want them and use them for whatever.
Go ahead.
But at this time, the trees You seldom ever see one that's bigger than 6 inches in diameter. The ones I found in 2000 was about 4 inches, and they had burrs on them when I found them. And then I went back in the fall and collected them, and I sent a bunch of nuts to the University of Kentucky. Forestry division, and they sent me back an answer that the chestnuts I sent were definitely native chestnuts. They weren't these Chinese, Italian, Japanese brands, but I've not heard anything else from it. But I did do that.
Why did you do that? What did you just wanted to see?
I just wanted to confirm that I was harvesting natural native chestnuts. But they sent me a reply back that they were definitely native chestnuts. But now there's several different organizations around over the states that has stories and magazines and stuff, and they are working trying to get something back close to natural.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody ever sell or trade chestnuts, or did people just collect them for themselves?
To my knowledge, I don't know of anybody selling them.
Now they did black walnut.
But they were just so plentiful that anybody could just go out and maybe 100 yards from the house and pick up all they need. There was really no sale for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the trees began to die, then everybody wanted to keep some, and they might have sold some, but not to my knowledge.
How do people store the nuts? Do you remember how you stored them?
All we ever done was just put them in a basket or a cardboard box and set them out for somewhere in the room out of the way. And just, we never did refrigerate them or anything like that. We just stored them dry.
Thing about a chestnut, it's not good till it dries. And it's gonna have the taste. So they like to let them sit out. I let them sit before I put them in my turkey dressing.
They have to cure. It changes the taste of them when they're new, just for falling off of a tree. They've got a sort of bitter taste. But after they dry, a week or 10 days, they become a little sweeter, and they're more pleasant to eat than they are when they're just fall off the trees.
Did people eat chestnuts as just sort of a snack, or yeah, did people eat them as like a meal or part of a meal?
Well, it was a snack.
Just a snack. Or
your mother though used them in her cooking.
Yeah.
She put them in her dressing and something else she said that she used them for, but I don't remember. But she done a lot of cooking and baking, and they put that in it, you know.
Would they chop them up or grate them into bread or anything?
The way we fix them is boil them, and you know, then they're soft, and you just mash them up and put them in your dressing or whatever you put it in.
So do you ever remember, do you remember people cutting down chestnut trees to use to build anything? Or
What was that? Chestnut was a real durable wood, and people made a lot of furniture and appliances from the wood, and some of the trees, I'm satisfied, will grow 100 feet in height. And they were just huge at the ground. Some of them as much as 7 feet in diameter.
Yeah,
right. They cut all of the timber and put it on the market, and then it converted into the furniture and paneling. And but
back then, though, they didn't know much use for the chestnut tree, the lumber. They didn't know about that, did
they? Well, the chestnut trees, I guess, one of the most usable things was rail fences. You could just go out in the woods anywhere and you didn't have to worry about hauling a post or something. Just go cut you a tree down and lay your fence up till you run out of rails, and right at in the same area where there'd be another tree, and you just cut it and work it up. They split them into rails by hand with wedges and hammers.
Do you think chestnut was the preferred kind of wood to use, or was it just because it was the most plentiful, or why did people...
I don't think they counted it as preferred because they burn it a lot. They take big chestnut trees up and take them out and burn them. They didn't have much value to them then. Hmm. But now they're about the biggest lumber than you did.
But they, after the black killed all of the trees, they was logging companies come in and set up and cut every dead tree in the mountains that they could find. Mm-hmm. And they put it into wood. And of course, there was more demand for it then than it was when the wood was real plentiful. But people would cut the trees, and they split them, called them puncheons. Be that wide, 4 or 5 inches thick, and they built a wall to their houses, notched them, and built houses out of that. I guess that was the most common use for chestnuts other than building fences, rail fences.
Did you ever hear of people using the chestnut, like way back in the old days, for any kind of medicine or anything? That would they ever put it into a tea or?
No, I never heard anything about medical reasons from chestnuts.
You ever heard anything about medicine made out of chestnut? No. Okay. You got something there?
This saw is the way they sawed their lumber.
Oh, wow. That is a long saw.
That's my dad.
Oh, wow.
He owned that saw at one time.
Mark Fields. A whip saw. Okay. Where did this come from?
Burt Banks sent it to me. I didn't know that it was around, but somebody took a Frank Majority, I guess, took the picture.
Oh, wow.
And told them the story about it. Did you know Frank Majority?
I've heard his name so many times.
Oh,
he sounds like he was... Is he? He's not still living, is he?
No, he's dead.
I think so. Yeah. People up at the Apple Shop talk about him a lot as being a really neat guy.
He sure knows about a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Was any part of y'all's house... Were your houses made out of chestnut, or did you know...
Yeah.
Or barns?
Yeah.
Houses and the boards. The roof, what they call them, boards, didn't they?
Yeah.
Shingles.
Yeah.
You know,
shingles.
They called them boards then. Huh. They'd make chestnut boards to cover the house with.
I wonder, why would they use chestnut?
Well, it was just a good lumber, lasting.
Did you ever hear of people using... chestnut bark to tan leather? Some people have said that it was good for tanning.
Well, I don't think I ever heard of any use of tanning.
Came in here one time, a bunch of augers did, and got a lot of bark.
Yeah, but they strictly got oak.
Oak.
Yeah. You know, the time they was getting oak for tanning bark, the chestnut trees had already quit producing bark.
So, how did you get interested in chestnut? Do you have a special interest in chestnut, or?
Well, we just spent a lot of time in the woods out hunting and cutting timber for mining timber and stuff, and just took a liking to the taste. And of course, I don't know what our ancestors, what their reason was. It was just something to fill our system with. And
chestnuts was pretty lumber, pretty wood burning.
Yeah.
Him and my son went in this mountain here a few years ago and got some of these dead chestnut trees. You know, was about gone, but they got enough to build a gun cabinet. That was the prettiest thing there was.
Wow.
But his wife took it when they divorced. Oh, we've not seen it since.
Oh, no.
It was so pretty.
I don't have no knowledge of any medicine or anything of being derived from chestnuts.
My mom made a lot of medicine from different things, but I never heard her say nothing about chestnut.
Okay.
That's all we doctored. We never went to a doctor. She always doctored a little stuff she'd get out and gather.
Wow, that's so neat.
I don't know, I guess they could use it in a dye, couldn't they? To dye clothes. I went over to Pine Mountain Settlement School and they was doing that.
Do you, some people have told stories about remembering when they were little and people stomping chestnut burrs with their bare feet or throwing chestnut burrs at each other. You have any memories like that?
No, I don't have no memory of that. I've used corn cobs to throw in green apples, but I never used chestnut burrs.
You stomped on them though, ain't you?
Not barefooted.
Huh?
Not barefooted.
You could
step on them and bust the burr off the nuts. And most of the time they fall out of the nuts and you don't have to. But sometimes they'll just hit the ground and you have to step on them or use a rock or something to break that husk off of them.
Do you remember were there any sort of like celebrations of chestnut or like gatherings where people would go gather chestnuts together or anything like that?
No, I don't have no knowledge or nothing like that. But the chestnuts were just so plentiful that you could just go out in 100 yards to the house.
It didn't mean nothing about having a celebration or nothing about
that. No.
Just so much of it.
It's just so plentiful, there's no reason to have competition in the deal. There weren't no market for the sale of them. I guess there's a whole lot of string trading done for maybe a gun or a pig or something. But
only thing I had to do is get up early enough to beat the hogs to the tree.
Yeah, what about that? Did a hog fattened on chestnuts taste different than a hog fattened on corn, or?
Well, it would make some difference in the taste. I don't know whether it would be that noticeable or not. But the hogs that were running wild, people clipped their mark in their ears and so on, but they stayed fat, and they'd just go out and find one with their mark on it and bring it home and slaughter it. And they didn't have to worry about feeding it and caring for it.
If they were so plentiful, the chestnuts, could you even buy them at a store, or would you just No one would even buy them.
I don't think anybody in business would have stocked them at that time to sell.
Because there were just so many of them.
But I don't know if anybody ever bargained to try to sell us chestnuts. We'd always pick them out and pick up our own, and everybody else done the same thing. Of course, after they started disappearing, I guess it's when it began to be commercialized, and there was a big sale of Italian chestnuts when they started importing them. But they have dwindled, and you don't see them in stores anymore.
So tell me about the chestnut tree you were talking about earlier that's in town. Tell me something about that tree.
About what?
That tree over there where Francis goes and gets them.
I don't know who planted the tree, but it's in that festival Avery, and it's just a tree that's growing below the home. I don't know who owns the property that it's on. I don't see nobody ever pick the nuts up, but me and my son goes over there every year.
They pick
chestnuts up, and we boil them and take the husk off of them and put them in the freezer. She uses them for dressing for Christmas and Thanksgiving. But as far as any valuable market for them, I don't think one exists, not in this area anyway.
How do those nuts taste different from American or Chinese?
There's not much difference in the taste of Chinese or Italian chestnuts and American. The American taste is just more pleasant. It's not got a bittery taste like the Chinese and Italian chestnuts.
What about size? Size. Are they bigger or smaller?
Our native chestnuts, you seldom ever see one that's an inch in diameter. These Italian chestnuts, a lot of them go to an inch and a quarter in diameter. The Chinese chestnuts are smaller, something like 3/4 of an inch.
Okay. Well, do you remember when you first heard about the blight, or what do people say about the blight?
There really weren't a whole lot said. It's somebody just said that's what was happening. It was a blight that was killing the chestnut trees, and apparently that's what it was. But they've never found nothing to stop it from being active.
How do people feel, do you think, when they knew that the chestnut was going to be extinct?
Well, I don't have no idea how they felt about it. They probably didn't realize that it was going to be as severe as it was. Maybe it's just a once in a while thing that happens, but it's been a constant thing ever since that blight come to this country.
About what time do you think the blight started coming through your area, and when were all the trees gone?
Well, I think that older people said it started sometime after World War I, and it still remains today. But you can't see no visible effects of a tree. It just stands there and suddenly it dies.
Has it ever died out there? That you've got in the yard out there, has it died yet?
No, it's not died yet, but it's getting to that age where they usually die after they borrow 1 or 2 years.
Did you plant that one out there?
Yeah. I went up here on the mountain and dug it up when it was small and set it out there. And this will be the 3rd year that it's had nuts on it. I got one nut off of it last year. And the year before that, I had collected some, and I sent them down to UK and had them analyzed.
So why did you decide to take that sprout out of the woods and plant it in your yard?
Just curiosity to see if you might conquer the blight.
He also got a what they call a chanky pin. And he went to my mountain. He's got 3 out there growing. But you know, mountain was full of them back when we was kids. They're not kind of scarce too, ain't they?
It's chinkapins are dwarf chestnut. Mm-hmm. Your chestnut has a round side and a flat side. The flat side's created by pressing together. Mm-hmm. And you'll find 2 or 3 in one burr. The chinkapin grows in a burr, but it's much smaller than the chestnut burr, and it just has a single nut in it. But it's got the same taste as the regular native chestnut. And I just took a liking to the history that is in it. Went out in the mountains and dug me up some and set them out and let them grow. We had a thing down there at the schoolhouse. We had a white oak tree. All of the children referred to that tree as being a chinkapin tree, but it's not related to the chestnut. It's a white oak. And it grows in a cup. Acorns grow in a little cup. The chinkapin grows in a burr like a chestnut. But all of the children that grew up on this creek and went to school down there said that was chinkapin tree. It was a chinkapin tree, but it's oak and not chestnut. And I just dug them up to have something to talk about once in a while when somebody come around.
Were there any chestnut trees on your way to school that you would pass ever?
Yeah, there was chestnut trees along the roads. There's one grows right here at the old Cowan School, right on the shoulder of the road inside of the schoolhouse. But they were common. All of these ridges and the mountains were covered with chestnut trees. Old people had a saying that when the chestnuts bloomed, they were so tall that they stood up above the other trees. And they'd say the snow was in the mountain. They could see them white blooms on them trees from anywhere around here.
Wow. Were there any other saying? I've not heard that before. That's really neat. That's interesting to me. I'm glad you told me that. Is there any other kind of sayings or stories kind of that people had to do with chestnuts?
I don't know who put those words together, but there is a saying that the snow on the Pine Mountain in June, and it was the chestnut trees because you could see them. They were up the tallest trees around. And they growed so thick it looked like a field of corn or something. They were real plentiful.
Huh. Have you ever heard any of your anybody? Do you remember hearing any of your neighbors talk about the chestnut trees dying, or anything that, or how it would affect them? Did it really affect people very much, or not really?
I don't think the majority of the people has any thought of it, because they're not accustomed to having access to use any way you want them. Because right now, with all of the modern machinery, if we had a ample supply of chestnut wood, it would be humongous. How many different uses you can make out of it. Mm-hmm. But at the time that the chestnuts were here, people didn't have no mechanization. They had done it physically, mm-hmm. with most of them handmade tools, cutting and hewing and sawing. But if we had an abundant supply of chestnut wood, it would be terrible. The demand for it, the grain.
So do you know a little bit about the whole restoration effort, that how they're trying to bring the tree back? You've heard a little bit about that with the back cross breeding, and yep. What they're trying to do is get a tree that's 15/16 American and 1/16 Chinese. And that 1/16 Chinese is what has the blight resistance. And so the American Chestnut Foundation has a tree that they've bred for the last 20 years or so that is that they think will be blight resistant. They want to put it back up on Pine Mountain and yeah. all through the Appalachian Mountains. And so I'm wondering, do you think that's a good idea? Do you want to see the chestnut come back? And if so, why?
Well, it was just a thing in life. We grew up having free exposure to them. We could go get them anytime we wanted them. And it was just relaxing to get out in the woods and pick the nuts up from the ground.
It was a good tasting nut too.
Yeah,
people and, really liked them.
But there's been people here that lived here, and in the winter months, they run out of chestnuts or something. Two men would take a crosscut saw and go to the mountains, cut a dead tree down, or steal the nuts from the squirrels, and that was pretty bad.
How would they steal the nuts from the squirrels?
How would they do what?
How would they steal the nuts from the squirrels?
They cut the tree where they was hoarding them up in the hollow of a tree. The squirrels stored them in the trees in their dens for winter use, and people took a notion they wanted some chestnuts. They'd just take a saw and go up there and cut down a tree and destroy their nest and take their supply of food away from them.
Wow. I've not heard about that. That's interesting, too. Gosh.
I hadn't heard that either.
Huh?
I hadn't heard that either, but I know I love chestnuts.
Well, we just done the same thing with honeybees, wild honeybees. They build a nest or a comb in a hollow tree. People take saws and cut them down and take the honey out, let the bees go free.
Wow. Well, like, when you think about, so Scuttlehole Gap and Callan, it's changed a lot probably from when you guys were growing up to now.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think people would use the chestnut trees in the same ways you guys used them growing up? Or how would the use of the chestnut trees change?
I don't hardly know how to answer that. But now that Scuttlehole Gap is an old county road. There was one pass in it there were sheer cliffs. At one time, you could had a walk path. You could, a person or animal could walk around the ledge of that cliff. In the later years, they had a work program, and they sent men up there, and they used machinery to drill and blast that cliff off. You can drive a car through it now. But at one time, this little ledge that you could walk on, there was no way to get to it. And they took chestnut logs and split them about 4 inches thick. Some of them was 2 feet wide. They done all that by hand, and they laid a beam around this outside edge with posties. And they floored that, and they called it the Punching Bridge. And that's the way this got to and from Virginia with groceries.
Wow.
And they drove their sleds across this Punching Bridge, and they drove their teams and wagons. And other than that, they had no way to cross this mountain.
How do you spell that, punching? How do you spell that?
It's P-E-O... C-H-O-N, punching.
Okay, I don't know. What does that mean? I don't know that word.
Well, it's just more or less a slab of wood, you know. They called it a punching. I don't know where they got the name or anything about it, but over here in Knott County, there's a creek named that, Punching County.
Wow. So you think people around here would like to see the chestnut come back?
Yeah.
Well, I think they would. I think everybody that had any desire for the old native chestnuts, I think they would really be admired by a return.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people would want to get involved in trying to help it come back by planting them on their property and stuff like that?
Well, you've got two classes of people. One of them's interested in trees and so on, and the other's not. So it'd be hard to say.
I don't know.
Anybody that's my age that ever had the experience of seeing the trees and eating the fruit would be really thrilled to see them come back.
But what do you think about people who never did see them or never did eat a chestnut?
Most of the people, the younger generation, has no knowledge of the trees. They can hear these tales like I'm telling, but they have no actual experience. And if you go in the store and find a chestnut, it's just a chestnut. There's only one kind, but that's not right. There's a lot of different kinds.
So how do you think, what would be a good way to try to get that younger generation interested in chestnuts? Do you have any idea of how to do that?
It'd be a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
They just don't care for them like we would.
Yeah.
Now, I've got two children. I mean, when I'd make that turkey dressing, my son, he won't eat it unless it's got the chestnuts in it. And my daughter, she wouldn't eat it if it had it in it. But then when she finally got a taste of it, she said, yeah, I want the chestnuts in it. But they like it. But unless they get a taste of it, they ain't going to pay no attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think it's important to collect all these stories from people like you, because it's going to take a long time to bring that tree back, probably 100 years.
Yeah.
And by that time, you folks with the stories and the memory of what the trees are all about won't be able to tell those to the people in the future. So So that's kind of what I've been trying to, or that's my thoughts. Do you think there's any concerns about bringing the chestnut tree back? Or do you have any advice for people trying to do it?
Well, I'd sure like to see it come back. But I don't know. People today don't seem to have no interest in things like that. I guess if you wanted to try to do something, it would have to be put in Division of Forestry or something, and the people that studies forestry and so on, they might help to get it done. But just outside to get a petition up to sign it and bring them back, there's not many people would bother to waste their time. But it would be good if they could establish something and put it in the school system.
That's a good idea. Have you heard about the Chestnut Festival they had over on Line Fork at the Kingdom Come Settlement School?
I don't think so.
They had a little Chestnut Festival over there for the last few days. I'm trying to find out more about it, but
I've been to
that. I think that one over there is probably what Robert Watts is working on.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I know that the school shut down, but I think they still have the festival. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it was in the paper this year. They have in the medical plants, you know, where they go out and find the plants to make your medicine.
Oh, yeah.
I went to one of them, and I think they're still having it.
Oh, wow, that sounds neat.
I had my daughter to call Robert when I found those trees out here in the mountain. And he told her that he would get in contact with me, but he never did come over here and talk to me about it. But I do know that according to the papers, through him and the Kingdom Come School, he's taking students out in the woods and digging up planks, taking them back over and sending them out around the school.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get a certain age, then they take them to strip jobs and transplant them. But that's what you were talking about a while ago, about that cross between the Chinese.
I sure wish they could find something to kill that blot.
Mm. Well, that was great. Is there any more thoughts you have? That's all the questions I have. If you got any more thoughts on it or advice?
No, I just hope they continue to work with it, and maybe it'll come back.
Yeah.
But if they ever wanted to start it, you'd be willing to help, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, I'd help any way I could.
Well, they say they're pretty close to getting it.
I sure hope so. So RC Day talks a lot about it.
I got to talk to RC Day. Is there anybody else you can think of that I should talk to?
Huh?
Anybody else who you can think of that I should talk to?